Hello, friends! It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of the fastest growing show, I'm told now, not even at ESPN, but also on the planet. How about that? It's DC and Helwani and my friends. We got a lot to talk about this week, from Kamaru Usman's big win to the welterweight title picture to Leon Edwards' next fight to the Bellator heavyweight tournament. So much going on in the world of MMA, as always, so stay tuned for what is a very fun show. By the way, after you're done listening to our masterpiece, I highly suggest you download the latest episode of ESPN's maybe second fastest growing show. It's called the SV Pod. It's hosted by the legend SVP Scott Van Pelt. So head on over to support him as well. He's one of the best guys at ESPN. And I know a lot of our MMA fans out there who listen to our show are massive soccer / football fans. So if you're looking for world-class soccer, I want to remind you that ESPN Plus is the place to be. The best teams, the biggest stars, and over 20 international leagues and tournaments are right over there on the platform that Chill and I built, of course. ESPN Plus, Serie A, Bundesliga, MLS, FA Cup, Copa del Rey, and a whole lot more. Sign up right now at ESPNplus.com. All right, enough from me. Let's get started. By the way, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
You went behind my back, you know the snake that you are, and did your old show. And instead of using your own graphics.
I don't have no fancy contract like you. I'm here to work.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this third week of February 2021. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That's DC, Daniel Cormier, my man. And I'm Helwani. Ariel Helwani, DC, it's so good to see you're smiling. You're in a good mood today, huh?
I'm in a great mood today.
Why are you in such a good mood?
I'm giddy. Listen, we had some good fights last weekend. It was fun. I'm back home for a few weeks now. I don't have to travel. Daniel's birthday is tomorrow.
Your birthday is tomorrow.
My little boy's birthday is tomorrow. So I'm in a good spot, you know? Good spot.
Well, I'm happy that you said that because I do have to get a few important announcements out of the way before we begin today's show. Number one, happy Valentine's Day to you and your better half, Selena Peachy Pie. Happy birthday to Corporate Jake today. Did you wish him a happy birthday?
Jake?
I mean, golly, didn't even wish him a happy birthday before we went on air. Happy early birthday to both your son and my son, Walter. Didn't wish Walter a happy birthday there when you said born on the same day. I mean, we are kindred spirits. Daniel Cormier.
How old's Walter? How old's Walter?
Seven.
Okay, yeah. So Daniel's 2011, February 16th. He's turning 10. Walter's turning 8?
No, 7, I just said.
He's turning 7? Okay, I didn't know if he was 7 turning 8 because the birthday is technically tomorrow.
Right, yeah. I just gave him a boatload of wrestling toys. Seven. Bret Hart, Goldberg, Edge. It was fantastic. Happy President's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday here. More importantly, dare I say, happy Family Day. In Canada, today's Family Day. You would love this holiday, by the way. All they want, the government just wants you to hang out with your family. That's it. Nothing more.
So essentially quarantine. They want you to quarantine. Like, I mean, that's all the government in Canada is like, you know what? We're going to just make you guys quarantine for your entire life.
It's a nice thought. Happy National Flag Day of Canada. Just want to give a shout out to the flag, one of the all-time great flags. Here we go. There it is. Oh, I just knocked off my glasses.
Today's
Happy National Flag Day. But there's more, DC. There's actually more. Shout out to your Rockets for the big win on Saturday against the New York. I forgot. Okay, sorry.
I literally just ignored that. I saw the tweet, but I just ignored it. Like,
it's okay.
We're struggling.
Most importantly, the wheels.
It's safe to say the wheels has come off.
Yes,
I mean the wheels have come off the bus here in the last few.
The ship be sinking, as Michael Ray Richardson once
said.
Does
the captain go down with the ship?
I mean, he's already in Brooklyn. The captain's in Brooklyn.
He's in Brooklyn going to the championship.
Hey, most importantly, above all else, congratulations to my man, Daniel Cormier, on his induction into the Louisiana High School Sports Hall of Fame class of 2021. Wow, what big news.
Bravo.
This is the crazy thing about this piece of information. Daniel Cormier will be inducted in April of this year, so just a couple months, into the Louisiana High School Sports Hall of Fame alongside DC, alongside Eli, Peyton Manning, Elvin Hayes, yes, the captain of the New York Knicks, Willis Reed himself, number, yes, 19, who walked out with the bum leg, Ed, yeah, Reed, ESPN's, yeah, own Marcus Spears, Swagoo, Jake Delhomme, former quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. DC, this is an unbelievable class. My question to you is this the first year of the Hall of Fame?
I have no idea.
Guys been inducted?
I have no idea. I can't believe it. But, dude, think about all those guys that had the impact that they had on their sports, all from different parts of Louisiana. Honestly, it really shows to the talent of our state. You know, a small state, we produce more athletes in the biggest sports in the world than any sport our size. So it's fantastic, man. I cannot wait to go back home. And look, they say when you start getting inducted into Hall of Fames, you're getting older, right? I'm about to be 42 years old, and I'm just happy that I'm going in with such great players and athletes and guys that have done so much on and off the field, guys that have impacted the sports world in general together. You know, I'm excited about that.
I mean, have you ever met Willis Reed, by the way? One of my all-time favorites. Willis
Reed. I got to be honest, man. I didn't know Willis Reed was from Louisiana. Oh, yeah. I didn't know Ed Reed was from Louisiana. I knew Marcus Spears was from Louisiana. Obviously, Peyton and Eli. Jake Delhomme is from Breaux Bridge, which is only 10 miles from Lafayette. So I knew some of the guys, but I didn't know everybody was from Louisiana. And it's, all pros, all NBA, UFC champions. We are from a fantastic, beautiful state.
And, of course, Daniel Cormier won 3 high school state wrestling championships for the great Northside High School. What was
Northside High School.
Vikings. What was the Vikings?
Yeah, Vikings. You ever notice that bad tattoo I have on my arm? Yeah, it was, I got it in high school. It's this one, the Vikings. Like,
oh, wow.
That's why I got the Viking on my arm. You know, whenever Northside Vikings.
That's incredible. Well, congratulations, yeah, to you.
Thank you. Ariel, I know I make a lot of jokes, but thank you. This means the world to me. When I got the call from my coach, Jim Ravenak, and the lady from the Hall of Fame to tell me, I was over the moon, because that is not something many wrestlers in Louisiana get, and I'm very proud of this accomplishment.
I just want to let you know, I started writing the induction speech, so I'm ready to go. I blocked out the calendar.
You'd never go to Louisiana. No,
I'll do Zoom. I'll do a Zoom gimmick. It's okay. They'll be me.
You ever get into the broadcast and Hall of Fame, I would be there in person. I would never miss it for the world.
Well, thank you. Hopefully there's not a pandemic whenever that time comes. Well, that's great. All right. So we got all that out of the way. Now let's talk about what transpired on Saturday. You were there. I was not. UFC 258. Kamaru Usman successfully defends his title against Gilbert Burns. What a phenomenal win. Weathers the storm in the first round, was rocked early on, comes back in the second, does phenomenally well, and then drops Gilbert with a power jab in the third, finishes him via TKO. As a result of that, he breaks George St. Pierre's record for most consecutive wins at 170. He now is 13. Ties your boy, Khabib Nurmagomedov, for second best start to a UFC career ever, 13 straight, just 3 behind the great Anderson Silva. 4th victory in a welterweight title fight. I mean, we're starting to talk about him as one of the all-time best in that division. What a win, what a performance. What impressed you most about what the Nigerian Nightmare did on Saturday?
The idea that he was able to put everything in its desired place, right? He put the friendship where it needed to be. He made him a rival where he needed him to be. He fought him as just an opposite competitor where he needed that one to be. He was able to compartmentalize everything, right? You didn't see him overly mad about him having to fight a teammate or his teammate wanting to take something from him. You didn't see him overly sensitive in regards to fighting a friend. He was able to put everything neatly where it needed to be, and it showed, because at the very start of the fight, he got dropped. And as he said in his post-fight interview, that is what it felt like when we would spar. I would throw something, he would come back very hard. Again, it speaks to the mental strength of Kamaru Usman not to allow himself to go back to that place, right? Lord knows what happened in those sparring sessions. You don't know if Gilbert Burns dropped him or hurt him, but imagine if he had done that before and Usman goes through that at the beginning of the fight. Mental toughness is at a premium when it comes to Kamaru Usman, but putting everything where it needed to be and then going out and executing his fight plan to the effect that he did, just fantastic.
By the way, you're so excited. You keep talking so forward. Your head's getting cut off. I just want to let you know.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, I want to see your full beautiful face. can I ask you a question? I obviously agree with everything you said. If someone walks up to me on the street, and I think any fan would say this and say, like, who are the faces of the UFC? Who are the biggest stars in the UFC? Like, the first guy that probably comes to mind right now. I mean, I'm talking champions, right? Obviously, Conor is above everyone else, but as far as champions, like, I'll say, Khabib still the champ. I'll say John Jones. I know, you know, he vacated, but kind of still in that discussion. I'll say Izzy, right? I'll talk about Stipe, the heavyweight champ, always has to be discussed. But when you look at Usman's body of work, you look at who he has defeated, you think about those records that I just talked about, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the whole, like, put respect on my name. Like, it's a little much afterwards, but I have to be honest, he's right. Like, we don't talk about him as one of the best. We don't give him enough credit. We pile on when he has, like, a decision win over Jorge Masvidal in a tough spot where he had to take a fight on a week's notice too, but we almost forget about the fight of the year contender against Colby Covington and the other great fights he's had. The guy's right. He doesn't get enough respect. He doesn't get enough love, and I hope that changes.
I said that on the broadcast last weekend. For a guy to have done what he's done, I still feel like he's underrated because and not maybe not underrated in terms of skill, but underappreciated is a better word for the way the masses look at Kamaru Usman. Because when he fought Colby, it was all about Colby. When he fought Jorge Masvidal, it was about Masvidal, right? Took the fight on short notice. Even this fight, people talk about the teammate angle, but it was like, can Gilbert Burns get it done? Because I don't know why the masses feel as though Kamaru Usman isn't that guy. But the reality is he's showing time and time again that to get that belt off of Usman is going to take a very, very special performance, because not only is he as good physically as there has been in this division, mentally he's as strong as they come. He's in fantastic shape. He can fight hard. He's got great power, obviously. I mean, the way he throws that 1-2, it's so straight. Every time he lands it, he drops people. He tried to take Colby Covington's head off with the right hand that ended the fight. He hit Gilbert Burns with a 1-2, but bow, dropped Gilbert. Then he switches stances, lands the front jab with the power hand, and it finishes the dude. So I think what we're seeing with Usman is a guy that can adjust to whoever he fights. He possesses skills in all areas. And now you hope that after putting those types of performances together, people start to recognize, wow, this dude's a man. Because he won the belt from Tyron Woodley, right? And people talk about, oh, he clinched him a lot, he wrestled. He dominated Tyron Woodley. He took the belt off him. There was no question going back to the center octagon who had won that fight. He dominated the whole time. First fight defense, Colby Covington. That was a crazy fight. He laid it all out on the line. Blood and guts war between Usman and Covington. He gets a finish. Takes Jorge Masvidal on 6 days, had a broken nose going into the fight, right? Dominates him. And this is, again, why I said Usman calling for Masvidal. Masvidal is a tough fighter. But I believe stylistically, Usman could probably do that same thing to him every single time. Wasn't that difficult for him to grind him out, hold him against the cage, and just really dominate him physically. Masvidal used to fight 155. There's no way Kamaru Usman ever steps on the scale at 155 pounds. That's a massive difference in his ability to control it from the clinch. And then look what he did against Gilbert Burns. He strikes with the strikers, or with the wrestlers. He grapples with the strikers, and he just dominates them. So I hope people start appreciating him, man. He really does deserve it, because what does he do wrong, right? What does he do wrong? He does nothing wrong. Fights hard, trains hard, loves his daughter, lives for his family. You know, what is it? He does nothing wrong. He's the type of guy that people should be flocking to support Kamaru Usman.
I agree. He's must-see TV now. He's incredibly dominant. I think he was hampered by the whole 30% thing a few years ago, and people kind of turned on him.
People say dumb stuff sometimes.
Listen, I don't agree with it. Remember, I was very complimentary of his performance against Jorge Masvidal, maybe even more so than you, because I thought he did what he had to do to win the fight. And there he just stood with the guy who I thought was the better striker, who had more power in his hands, took his best shot, and then finished him. I think the move to go to Trevor Whitman, to be in a smaller team where it's more focused on him, to train with a madman like Justin Gaethje, will prove to be great for his career. Could I ask you, though, a great clip afterwards of you going to see him in the back and saying that he would never catch you with that, but he brought you in close and it seemed like he was sharing a moment with you. He was saying something. Yeah. To you. Do you mind telling us what he said?
So I went to the back as I was leaving, and I saw Gilbert Burns. I went and gave Gilbert a big hug. He was getting stitched up and, you know, told him to be very proud of what he had done to put himself in that position. It hurts now, but eventually gets back. Went back and talked to Usman. And, you know, he said something as he was leaving the octagon, and I didn't remember it, right? Because he said, I'm varsity. He kept saying, I'm varsity.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't catch on to what he was saying. When I went back in the back and we pulled in close, we talked about that again. It's a conversation that him and I had privately before the fight that I can't share the details, but right. It was something like that, right? It was something to that effect. Just talking and referencing and going back, calling back to what we spoke about on Wednesday before the fight. Because, you know,
fighter meeting.
No.
Oh,
on the phone. Because okay. I called him and he said, or Tuesday. It was Tuesday when he got to Vegas. I called him. He said, hey, D. He said, what's up? I said, what's up, Usman? He goes, what's up, D? I go, what are you doing? He goes, first off, he goes, let's talk. Are we talking as brothers or because you're calling this? And I said, I'm calling as your brother to talk to you and talk about the fight and everything else. And that's what we did. We talked. We chopped it up. We had a good conversation. And he called back to that conversation.
Okay.
In that moment.
All right. That is great. Now, you referenced the call out afterwards. Now, this is a unique one for a few reasons. Number one, oftentimes the champion doesn't call someone out. You know, like he just says, hey, come on, bring it. I'm at the top of the hill. You come to me. He didn't do that. Also, oftentimes champion doesn't call someone out who he beat. I thought it was smart on Usman's part. It's the biggest fight he can get. Fighting Jorge Masvidal right now is the biggest fight he can get. He has this in common with George St. Pierre. He's so dominant and he's been so dominant for so long. He's running out of fresh faces to fight. I'm not down with the idea of him moving up to 185. I'm not down with the idea of Khabib moving up to fight him.
No.
But right now, you know, he has a win over Gilbert. He has a win over Colby. He has a win over Leon many moons ago, albeit a different Leon and a different Usman, but he still has a win over him. A win over Jorge Masvidal as well. The next guy who doesn't have a win over is Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who's number 5, Michael Chiesa, number 6. Two very good fighters, but not quite there just yet. Maybe they fight each other to see if they can take a step forward. So he calls out Usman. Now, I thought it was the smart move he calls out Masvidal. Thank you. Smart move because he makes money off that fight more than any other fight. But also, let's be honest, he gave Usman a gift on a silver platter because, just to set the scene for everyone, of last week, why do I keep saying Masvidal? I'm getting all excited here. He gave Masvidal a gift on a silver platter. Why? Because all last week they were trying to finalize Masvidal and Covington to be the coaches on the next season of The Ultimate Fighter. Masvidal said, I'll fight Covington, I'm told, but I don't want to be a coach opposite him on The Ultimate Fighter. I don't want to give him that shine. I'm not down. It's very personal between them. Here comes the champ, who then says, I'll fight Masvidal. Masvidal's like, I'll definitely fight that guy. I'll fight for the belt. Now you see the managers talking about it. He just gave Masvidal the out that he wanted because he'd way more rather fight for the belt than fight his boy Covington. And I kind of feel like this is going to happen now. What do you make of how it all went down?
I think Usman's very aware, right? This pay-per-view did 1.2, 1.3 million buys. And a lot of that was based on Jorge Masvidal and all the intrigue he has captured. So late in his career, he is from him being on the private plane in the Versace robe to the pizza, the Rock putting the belt on it. It was all the rub that he got, all the shine, turned him into a star. Usman recognizes that in that fight, he was on the pay side of that. Usman's a champ. He gets money.
Yep.
Secondly, and I'm not trying to crap on Jorge Masvidal, it was not that difficult to fight. I fought Frank Mir in the same way where I just clinched him. It's not hard to do that when a guy doesn't really have the ability to get away from you. There's minimal risk for the champ. You get to coach The Ultimate Fighter now, seems to be becoming a part of it, and you get to make the most money. Does this pay-per-view do what the last one did? I don't think so, because we've seen it before, but it still does better than anything else that he can do right now. I think it's fantastic. Put those guys on tough. Let them argue with each other. And for Usman, I believe you put him on tough, it's going to go one or two ways, right? I know the guy. I've known the guy for a long time. I like his personality. I like talking to him on the phone. We like to just talk and hang out and just kind of shoot the – but either people are going to love him after seeing more of him or they're going to hate him even more. But they will come back with an opinion. because that's what you want. Right now, it's a bit of a Usman can either fight a great fight or it's going to be Masvidal, which people didn't seem to enjoy much because they wanted to see Usman give Masvidal a chance. He doesn't have to give him a chance. That's not his obligation. His obligation is to win and provide. So they'll either love him or they'll hate him, which is what you want if you're Kamaru Usman, because the one thing you don't want is indifference. I've always said that. Indifference is the enemy. And for Kamaru Usman, fight a guy that people seem to love, go beat him again, and be on the Ultimate Fighter. It works.
And you could sell it. Masvidal full camp. You know, Usman.
There's a lot of different factors for Jorge too, right?
Being yeah, able you to could sell it very well.
Having the great coaches over at American Top Team, the wrestling coaches, he's been training with Bo Nickelmore now. So it's like there are a lot of things that you can sell about this fight. And Jorge Masvidal is look, man, he's an overachiever, right? Because if you looked at his career back at Strikeforce to the beginning of the UFC, you would never expect him to be who he is today. He overachieves, man. The guy is a savage. He's a stud, and he knows how to go and fight and make money and get victory. So I'd love to see those guys go again.
I will add this, though. I really want to see Masvidal Covington. There's incredible heat there between them. I kind of feel like Covington was the big loser on Saturday because Usman could have very well called him out, too. They hate each other as well. He didn't. So now he loses out on that potential fight, and he may just lose out on the Masvidal big fight and tough opportunity. Yeah. Covington kind of lost out big time on Saturday because of that.
But if Covington fights,
he got boxed out.
If he fights someone else, though, he'll most likely win, right? Like, it's a tough fight.
And we will talk about Leon in a moment.
I believe Colby Covington is probably number two, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's why I want to see Covington Masvidal so bad.
Yeah, people hate Colby Covington, but he can really fight. And he's number two. And he fought Usman tough, right? Because you got to remember going into the fifth round, a lot of people thought it was 2-2.
I did.
Yeah, a lot of people thought 2-2, him and Usman. Nobody fights Usman like that. So in every time Covington fought Usman, it would be a very tough fight because he goes hard. He's in great shape. He's not afraid of him. Usman can't take him down, and he can't just really dominate him as he did with Gilbert in the striking. So it's always a tough fight versus Covington. And I think at some point Covington will find his way back into a fight with Kamaru.
All hail the Nigerian nightmare. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the love. And I'm here to give it out. But I'll just say before we move on to the co-main, he is not in the conversation with George St. Pierre just yet. Nine title defenses for GSP, 11 victories in title fights.
I understand.
We're not there yet.
Listen. You're a bit of a. It's going to be a bit of a bias for you.
No,
it'll be a bit of a bias. No, listen.
The numbers.
It'll be a bit of a bias for you, but I agree, but I don't think that you can just base it on numbers. The game is so different today. The game is so different today that you can't say.
The guy was champ for 11 title fights.
No, I understand. But you can't say Israel Adesanya can't be Anderson Silva until he gets to 15 title defenses. I don't think it's that simple because this is going to sound so bad. But some of the title defenses Anderson Silva had was it Talis Latis and freaking Rich Franklin.
Hey, don't give me revisionist history. This is revisionist history.
No, I'm not. I'm saying those guys aren't the guys that Israel Adesanya is going to fight today. The game evolves. It constantly gets better. That's why you'll never see a team win 8 championships out of 10 like Wilt Chamberlain and them won back in the day. Or you will never see the Lakers. You'll never see the Lakers and the Celtics play for the championship about every single year in the 80s because
George St. Pierre was a champion a decade ago. It wasn't 40 years ago at this
point.
I'm not trying to be a hater. All I'm saying is he's not there yet. He's in the conversation with Matt Hughes and Pat Miletich. Great. That's the next best.
But Ariel, if Usman gets 2 more, I think he started looking at it because guess what?
But not now.
One more. Because again, the game constantly evolves. I don't know if GSP. God, I love GSP, but I don't know if he's – I mean, Colby Covington, like, is – Colby Covington back then might have been the champion. He's
Matt
at least
Hughes.
Matt Hughes. He's at least Matt Hughes, right? Is Colby Covington at least Matt Hughes?
No, Matt Hughes won.
You're crazy.
Colby Covington won a title.
No, I'm talking about skill-wise. That's what I mean.
We can't be playing that game.
No, 10 years in MMA is a lifetime. Because I know how it looked. I know how MMA looked when I got there to the way MMA looks today. And I'm not trying to – hey, dude, listen. There's going to be a time very soon where they're going to look at me fighting and go, wow, that guy was the champion. Like, it's gonna, that's the truth. It's just the truth. You are watching guys now fighting like professional boxers.
All I'm saying, you know better than anyone. When you're the champion, there is a bullseye on you. There is a level of pressure that comes with being the champ, with being on the marquee.
Stand motivated as George St. Pierre. Look, GSP, that man, I believe, is the greatest fighter of all time. Let's not not mistake it. I think GSP is the greatest fighter of all time.
So but then you agree that Usman isn't quite there yet.
At welterweight, Usman's very, very close.
Not there
GSP,
yet.
GSP also went up to 185, which I think put him over the top.
I'm just talking welterweight champ. Not there yet. That's all I'm saying. Usman's
getting very close. Because
not there yet. Not there yet.
The competition is just crazy. Look at you. This dude is so biased. This dude is so biased. When you know, I mean, the level just gets, it's just getting better and better, man.
All right.
It's harder and harder to hold on to that belt.
It's a fun barbershop debate.
If Israel Adesanya wins 5 championship fights, I'm going to be ready to start talking about him and Anderson Silva in the same.
Not there yet. Not there yet. There's a level of pressure that comes with those title defenses. I'm sorry. Okay. We could talk about this forever. It's a fun barbershop debate. I love those. But let's give some other fighters who won on Saturday their due as well. What about Alexa Grasso? I said it all week. We're overlooking her. We're talking about Barber. And it was a good story, 13 months off ACL. But Alexa Grasso at flyweight is the Alexa Grasso who we thought we were going to get in the UFC when she debuted a few years ago. Now 5-3, 2-0 as a flyweight. And DC, I can't stop thinking about the transition on the ground in the second round, crazy. Right? Alexa Grasso, the Mexican striker, gets taken down by Barber, big Barber, strong Barber, wrestler Barber, and she freaking transitions to a triangle, an arm triangle. I don't know what she was doing. That it was amazing, arm right?
Got to get ended up on top. I'm like, what in the world? I had no idea. I had no idea Alexa Grasso could grapple like that because when she fought Carla Esparza back in the day and she kept getting taken down, she couldn't move. Right? She couldn't really get away from her. She settled. Now it looks like she has well-rounded jiu-jitsu to go with what is possibly the best boxing. Like I know at times that you, here goes DC with the grand statement. Alexa Grasso may be the best boxer, pure boxer, in all the female mixed martial arts.
Wow.
The way she throws.
Zhang Weili, Joanna. Amanda Nunes.
Joanna, kickboxing. Joanna, kickboxing.
You're going to have to face them later.
Joanna is a fantastic kickboxer.
Is she the only fighter in women's MMA who has the it factor? Is she the only one with the it factor?
Alexa Grasso?
Yeah.
No,
that's a joke.
I'm not doing that again. See, here's the thing. You set me up on that one. You let me go. You could have just stopped me. I had to deal with a whole bunch of people going, wow, Daniel, that was harsh. I'm sorry. More guys than that have the it factor. But listen, she is the best pure boxer in MMA. Wow. Because everything is tight. Everything is crisp. Everything goes exactly where it's supposed to go. No wasted movements. She doesn't loop her punches. She moves her head. If you're forced to just box with Alexa Grasso, you're in trouble. And I think we saw that last week, man. This girl has phenomenal boxing because she doesn't kick very much.
Right.
You know, she doesn't kick very much.
Can she beat Valentina?
I mean, come on, man. Who can beat Valentina Shevchenko? Who's beating Valentina? Because it's not about
more of these.
Well, because it's just not about boxing. It's about full-on MMA, right? I said she's the best boxer. Valentina's kickboxing and her Muay Thai and her wrestling and everything else has proven to be super high level. So I don't know if she's ready for Valentina yet, but I do believe that in time she can make her way up to the championship fight. She's bigger now. Her back looks big. She speaks English. You know, she's a nice girl. She's very proud Mexican, represents her country, loves the idea that she stays home and is getting better and improving. I think she has it all. I really do believe she has it all. It's a matter of whether or not she can string them together enough to get to a championship fight.
Macy Barber, what do we make of her? Like overrated? Around? Too young?
No, I think Macy Barber still can do and be who she said she was going to be, just not in the time frame that she set for herself. Right. Because reality is, she only did, she set the time frame. Nobody did that. Nobody said, Macy, you need to be the champion by 22 years old. She set a big goal, and I believe she should be commended for that, right? People talk, oh, she was arrogant. Say she set goals, man. You put the finishing line out there, and you go chase it down. That is a very important factor when it comes to MMA. Macy Barber did that. It's not a big deal. Like, I think she should be commended for it.
She'll be fine. She's 22. I think she gets hate because she set those lofty goals, but I think she'll be back. That was her first fight in 13 months. Speaking of wrestling, Kelvin Gastelum, where was that wrestling, right? Six takedowns, doubled the most he ever had in a fight. The most he ever had in a fight was in his debut against Uriah Hall's UFC debut. That's a good I like that Kelvin Gastelum. We need to see more of that Kelvin Gastelum, right?
Absolutely. And against Ian Heinisch, who can really wrestle. Ian Heinisch has a ton of credentials to his name in terms of straight wrestling. But Kelvin did exactly what he said he was going to do. He spoke to us on the fighter meeting about getting back to his wrestling roots, working with Benil Dariush, helping him get back to what got him to the show. And for Kelvin Gastelum to go get a victory like that after losing three in a row, massive for him, massive for his confidence. And Ariel, dude's like 29 years old. I mean, that's an amazing stat that Kelvin Gastelum still hasn't turned 30, and he has been in the UFC for as long as he's been here.
Yeah, can't write him off just yet. His three-fight losing streak snapped, so good for him. Speaking of guys who picked up a win in a very long time, Julian Marquez, fantastic, happy for the guy, first win since 2017, but holy smokes, Julian Marquez, you deliver the promo. It's fun. I mean, I think you kind of got a little bit off track there at the beginning, but Rogan got him back on track. You call out Miley Cyrus, massive international pop star.
Yes,
she responds and says, just shave the MC in your chest and I'm yours. And you come back with the henna tattoo.
What a demand. Would you come and give a demand to Miley Cyrus, Julian Marquez?
One of the all-time great blunders in the history of blunders.
It was a blunder because now it's over. It's over now. It's over.
She's not engaging. She's like, this guy's a jabron.
Anymore. It's over.
I'm out of here.
She's like, well, you know, I gave the UFC guy a tweet, gave an opportunity to make. If he would have put the MC tattoo or the shave,
yeah,
she would have responded. She would have retweeted it. She would have talked about it. But now he get a hint.
How could you be?
This is the action of a guy. Right? That's never had a girlfriend. I don't think Julian Marquez has ever had a girlfriend in his life. You don't see stuff like that. I mean, you don't. You get the cool girl. You got the cool girl. You got the bell of the ball to respond. All you got to do is go and shave the MC. And the moment you take the picture, you can just shave it all off. It'll grow back in 2 days. But instead, you make a demand to Miley Cyrus. I mean,
it actually hurt my heart when I read it.
I felt bad. I crumbled. I crumbled for the poor guy. I literally just died inside for the poor guy. Like, Julian, you blew it. He's a nice guy, but he blew it.
The comments on his tweet were great. Like, everyone telling him to delete it.
Yeah,
like, I threw out the Billy Madison. You blew it. I mean, the guy just, wow.
No, they did. Everybody was saying that he blew it.
Oh, my God. Yes, totally. Got killed for it. Just absolutely killed. And didn't even correct it. Horrible. Hey, shout out to Anthony Hernandez. Holy smokes. What a win over Rodolfo Vieira. I mean, just first of all, tremendous nickname. But second of all, to do that to Rodolfo Vieira, like, go read about that man's Brazilian jiu-jitsu resume.
Hey, Ariel, I sat at the commentary table for three fights afterwards going, I was laughing. The stage manager got this. Miles was like, laughing at me, laughing quietly, because I could not stop thinking about it. I was like, I think that may have been the tiredest I've ever seen a human being get in a fight. Like, Rodolfo Vieira was so tired, 2.5 minutes of a fight. I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But then for Hernandez to go for the choke, like, I mean, we were all laughing like schoolgirls. And it's not that we're celebrating the downfall of Vieira, but then he got him to tap. Right? Like, he got him to tap. I was talking to some jiu-jitsu guys yesterday. I said, when you guys see that, right, Rodolfo Vieira tap, do you guys think, wow, there was a time that Hodja Gracie broke Jacare's arm. He stuck it in his gi, and he kept grappling because he didn't want to tap, right? This is one of his – I think Jacare is one of his coaches. He trains there or trains with him.
Mm-hmm.
To see a high-level grappler like that tap, does it hurt you guys a little bit? I said, don't you just go to sleep? If you're like that guy, don't you just go to sleep? They said, it does suck a little bit. It hurts. But he was kind of looking for his way out, and he took it by tapping. I think for him, he would have saved face a little bit if he just went to sleep. He should have just went to sleep. You can't tap to a guy that goes on the interview and goes, yeah, I was just asking my coach for a stripe on my blue belt. You can't tap to that guy. You just can't.
If you go on his Wikipedia page and you look at his jiu-jitsu credentials, it's like gold, 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 gold,
gold. It's all gold.
It's amazing. And that was his first loss.
How do you get so tired? You're like, wow. It's crazy.
Muscles. Lactic acid.
Too much muscle.
One last thing about 258 that I wanted to bring up. And, you know, we've been talking and celebrating Black History Month here at ESPN and obviously around the country. Black History Always, theundefeated.com. They're always covering it better than anyone. I was thinking about how crazy, pertaining to the main event, how crazy it is that Rashad Evans leaves Albuquerque because of the John Jones fight.
Yep.
First goes to Grudge for a cup of coffee. With Trevor Whitman. Then goes to South Florida, recruits the likes of Kamaru Usman, of Gilbert Burns. They make a team called the Black Zillions. It eventually becomes Sanford MMA with a few other name changes. That's the storyline going into this fight. Trevor Whitman is involved in this fight after Usman goes and trains with him at Grudge. It's crazy how, like, I felt like Rashad Evans needed to be front and center, one of the all-time legends of the sport. He's really responsible for all this and deserves his own props. Was a champion in the UFC light heavyweight, first Black Ultimate Fighter champion. I mean, this man has seen and done it all. Now he weighs like 165 pounds. It's almost in the shape the man is. But I know that he's played a huge part in your career, like dating back to the beginning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Rashad was one of those guys. Again, you said he was the first Black Ultimate Fighter winner. And you could see a guy that we knew from college wrestling that was doing his sport. And he had me go train with him. Guess where? Grudge Training Center. I actually went to Colorado to train with Rashad when he was working out with Trevor Whitman. I stayed in his apartment. First time I ever trained with Brendan Schaub. All those guys were down in Colorado training in the Grudge Training Center. And
really?
Yeah, it's just insane how it all came full circle from him recruiting, getting, leaving his team. And now look at where Usman ends up. So if you think for a second, when it's time for Kamaru to make a decision, Rashad didn't go, hey, Trevor Whitman is as sharp and as committed as any coach in the world. You might want to consider that. Rashad Evans says something to you as a young fighter, you listen. And I bet he had something to do or say in regards to if Usman was leaving. We'll take a look at Trevor Whitman because of his experiences with him. I saw Coach Whitman after the fight. I go, you guys did it. I go, great job. He goes, no, Kamaru did it. I would never take credit for that. All I did was try to help where I can. Trevor doesn't even want any credit. Trevor wants to just
– he won't do interviews. He's like, I'm done doing interviews. I'm not taking any shine. I've asked him many times, and he just won't do it. By the way, what year was that?
2010.
Okay, so is this when he left Jackson's or when he was kind of going back and forth?
He was going back and forth. He was getting ready to fight. Oh gosh, who was it?
Forrest Griffin.
Somebody that wrestled, right? Because I was going in there to kind of work out with him, so it had to be someone that was wrestling, or maybe he was just trying to get me to train. I don't know what it was, but Rashad played a massive part. Hey, Rashad was the first guy that I saw on TV. He used to do a show on Access TV or something like that. What was that show with Ron Kruk way back in the day?
Inside MMA?
Inside MMA.
Yeah.
And I went on the show, and Rashad was the host. And I was like, wow, I would like to do that too. So the reality is Rashad Evans really did set a blueprint for what my career has become.
That is amazing. All right. Great to get some Rashad love in there, one of the good guys in the sport. Coming up, DC, we're going to talk about the 170-pound division. Leon Edwards, a lot has happened since we last spoke. But first,
what's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, meeting-free Fridays. Well, what about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch at your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-order stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DCRC. All lowercase, go to shopify.com/DCRC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/DCRC.
All right, let's talk about 170. So Thursday we get word, Leon Edwards versus Khamzat Chimaev, once again canceled. Now for the third time, they were supposed to fight December 19th. Then they were supposed to fight January 20th. Then they were supposed to fight March 13th. It's now been canceled. Now, this one's a bit scary. You know, there's been some interviews out with one of Khamzat's co-managers. I want to get his name correct. Majdi Shamas spoke to Front Kick saying that Hamza told him his lungs haven't recovered. He thought at one point he was going to die. He had coronavirus, very serious stuff. He did one round, rested, started coughing, started feeling ill. Like, he just can't shake this sort of thing. Oh. Had to go in an ambulance. I mean, this is serious stuff. So we certainly wish Hamza the best, and hopefully he's able to make a full recovery. As I said a few weeks ago, I thought they should have moved on from the fight, get Leon a fight, keep him on the January 20th card. It didn't happen. But now he's adamant about fighting on March 13th. He wants to stay. He wants to fight. The guys have fought in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
He's called out Nathan Diaz. He's called out Masvidal. He's called out Colby Covington. What do you do with Leon Edwards?
You find him a match.
Just anyone.
He has to fight somebody, right? You know who I would actually kind of be like, if I'm Michael Chiesa, right? Coming out of that fight with Neil Magny. With... I mean, when's the fight? A month? I'm getting my way down and trying to go fight.
Before you go too far down the Chiesa road, spoke to him on Saturday on my radio show, had him on to talk about the main event.
Yeah.
Busted ribs, probably going to return in the summer.
Yeah, that sucks, because I think that would have been a massive opportunity for Michael. I mean, now I really don't know. Maybe you let him fight Neil Magny coming off a loss. I mean, Neil Magny would do it.
What about Nathan Diaz?
Nate Diaz ain't fighting in a month, man.
Why not? Yeah. I don't know if you saw my interview with him. It's fantastic stuff, by the way. Did you see it? It was great. I mean,
I saw some clips.
Cinematic. Why you watch the whole thing? Listen, Nathan Diaz said, I want to fight 2 to 4 times this year. I want to return in the spring. Okay, it's a little soon, but I want to fight at 170. He doesn't have to cut a lot of weight for 170. Yeah. It's a big name. It's a top ranked guy. You win that fight at 170. You're there. Leon gets the big name. I kind of feel like this is the perfect scenario. It's either Nathan, or Colby. Right?
Yeah. It's a great fight. I mean, obviously it's a great fight, but I just think Nate coming back and all the time away.
It's Nathan, like, by the way. He told me he wants to be known as Nathan now. Okay.
Please, Nathan Diaz?
Yes. So yeah, that's his name.
I know it is. Double finger. It is his name. So I'd like to see Nathan fight. I'd like to see Nathan fight with a full training camp under his belt. I'd like to see Leon Edwards and Colby Covington, because if they fought, that gives us a clear idea of who's next after.
Yeah.
Or maybe even gets Usman right away. Right. Like, the Masvidal thing sounds great, but if Colby Covington or Leon Edwards goes out there and has just a freaking crazy performance, why not one of them versus Usman? It's all rematches at this point, right? Because of how good Usman's been, they're all rematches. It's just a matter of who the champ wants to see next.
Leon deserves a big fight. I think we all agree on that. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even hate if they gave him a title shot. I mean, the guy deserves
it. I just want to see Leon Edwards fight.
I know. I'm so tired of talking about this, right?
Especially if he's willing to pretty much take on anybody. He's called all of them out, right? So it's showing you there are no reservations to who Leon is ready to fight right now. So just keep him on the card, get the dude a fight.
Okay, so we agree that big fight, Colby. Could we also agree that Charles Oliveira has kind of blown this whole Nathan Diaz thing? You're not getting a title shot. Why are you turning down nothing. This fight, right?
Did he say anything?
He said, I'm sorry, homie. I'm not interested. That was his tweet.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
What is going on with these guys? What is going on with these guys?
Fight. You're not getting a title shot. It's not happening. Goodness. Why would you turn that one down?
What's he holding out for?
Nate Diaz is the title shot.
Nathan Diaz is the fight.
He thinks he's getting a title shot next. I don't think that's happening. He's not getting Gaethje and Chandler. It looks like they're going to fight. Poirier and McGregor. Who's he going to fight? Would he rather fight?
Let me ask you this. This is kind of crazy, right? So he ain't getting Gaethje or Chandler.
Right.
Right? But he ain't getting Poirier or McGregor.
Right.
But then I saw somewhere they said Poirier and McGregor won't be for the belt.
Right.
So where's the belt?
You know where the belt is. It's in Dagestan. They're not taking it away from him. He's like, please take it away. He's like, no. Please, we want you to have it.
Habib's like, hey, here, take this thing. Do whatever you want. Hey, Habib's like, here. I got something for you. This is a belt. You guys love, you know. They're like,
No. You keep it. That's so bizarre. This whole they're meeting again in 2 weeks. We're having the decision all over.
Habib will actually bring the belt with him. And I'm physically giving you the belt. Dana's like, no, come back.
You keep it. No, Charles Oliveira is not getting that. I can assure you of that. By the way,
one thing that's not happening is the belt is not being traveled to Houston or a bout agreement. For Charles Oliveira right now. It just doesn't seem that way.
Why Houston, by the way? He doesn't live in Houston.
He trains in Houston, right?
I thought he trains in Brazil.
No, he trains and lives in Houston. Are you
crazy? No, that's crazy. I just interviewed him like 2 weeks
Charles
ago.
Charles Oliveira lives in Houston.
Charles Oliveira does not live in Houston.
Charles Oliveira lives and trains in Houston, Texas.
You're crazy. I think
How much do you want to bet? Charles Dubronx trains and lives in Houston, Texas.
Well, when I spoke to him 2 weeks ago, he was not in Houston, Texas.
I'm trying to tell you, Charles Oliveira.
All right. Well, by the way, it doesn't matter where he lives and trains. He isn't getting that
belt. It does, but the bout agreement for a title, unless, hey, what about this, though?
Oh.
What if all those big fights are going over there, then Oliveira finds himself in a title fight with somebody else?
Who?
The other guy.
What other guy?
I don't know which one it is, but like, there's got to be another guy, right? You got two, that's four. You put the other guy that's on a win streak at 155 against Charles Oliveira, Islam Makhachev. Why not do Islam Makhachev?
Are you kidding me?
If Islam Makhachev
be that biased listen, right now?
Listen to this. If Islam Makhachev beats Drew Dober and you need somebody to fight for the belt, why not do Islam versus Oliveira for the belt? And then once those other guys are done with their little deals, then you go and revisit it and have them fight the champ.
Listen, I love Islam. It's a great fight. He ain't cutting the line when you got Chandler there, when you got Gaethje there.
Well, those guys want to fight each other. They want to fight each other and not for the belt.
I respect the fact that you're campaigning for your guy, but that might be one of the worst freaking ideas that you've ever had on this show.
Really?
I mean, listen, it's a good fight, but it ain't for the belt. I'll tell you that much. And by the way, let me be very clear. Charles Oliveira deserves to be fighting for the belt. It's just not going in his favor right now. Like the stars aren't aligning for this guy. So it's all right. So that's a bad decision. Can I tell you what's a good decision?
What?
Hey, our boys at Bellator actually listened to us. Romero Rumble, first round of the heavyweight Grand Prix. They did it, right?
I take a lot of credit in that.
You don't take credit for that. I 98% of that fight, 98% of both those guys getting signed there and them making that fight, let alone the tournament, thanks to me.
Oh, come on.
I wish we could call Scott Coker right now.
Sometimes you just like go above and beyond.
It's legit true. This time it's legit true.
It is?
You know, usually, historically in these tournaments, they'll say, oh, we got Romero here. We got Rumble. Let's put them on the other sides of the bracket.
They get to the finals. Nope. Match them right away.
And it never happened. Match them right away.
We talked about that. We did talk about it on the show. It was like, put them in the first round. They need to fight each other. But how about my boy Phil Davis, though, right? Like, he's got a tough side of the bracket, don't he? He's got champ and then the winner of Romero versus Rumble. Like, my boy Davis has got a tough side of the bracket. But I think he's fought Nemkov before, and it was decently close, right?
Close.
Yeah,
Nemkov is really good, but it was close. Corey Anderson has a really tough fight. Guy's unknown, but that guy's super tough. I mean, he's a guy from Russia.
Well, I mean, just because he's from Russia, he's tough. Like, you don't know who the guy is.
I do know who he is.
Oh, he's got a really tough fight.
He's like an ACB champion or something. I want to get his name correct. I don't want to butcher it. He's Dovletstan Yakshimuradov. He's the former Ahmad light heavyweight champ.
Let me tell you,
this guy 14-5. Yes,
he's tough. He's very tough. Dozhkov, Lakhmakhlov. That dude is so tough.
I like that they did this. I like that the tournament for Bellator is fun.
I love this idea.
They should do a tournament in the lightweight division, UFC. They're not going to do it. I don't know why. I'm glad that Bellator is doing it to be a little different.
It's a great idea. Look, Bellator now has a featherweight tournament and a light heavyweight tournament. It cannot all be tournaments, though.
No.
Because we got an organization that does tournaments. But when you have the type of star power they have at 205, I feel like the tournament is the right decision.
Yeah.
Who's Machida fighting?
Machida's fighting Ryan Bader. Rematch of a fight that happened UFC on Fox way back in, I think, 2012.
Wow, that was, in LA. Yeah, I remember that.
Remember Machida Bader knocked him out?
Right hand, knocked him out. Yeah.
All right, speaking of the heavyweight division, big-time heavyweight fight coming up this Saturday. Are you working this one, Blades Lewis?
Oh, got a couple weeks off now.
Good for you.
Well deserved. Yeah.
Remember, we kind of broke this one down a few weeks ago or months ago now because they were supposed to fight Thanksgiving weekend, but then Curtis Blades got COVID. Here's my question to you. What exactly is at stake in this fight? Because Dana White came out last week, confirmed what I reported a few weeks ago or months ago at this point. John Jones is fighting the winner of Ngannou Stipe. He is fighting the winner. So, I mean, Blades wins. He deserves a top. I mean, he deserves a title shot, to be honest.
He does.
Not getting it.
It's so sad. I've talked about this. Like, when does Curtis Blades fight for the belt, especially if Miocic remains the champion? Stipe hasn't – him and I fought 3 times in 3 years. And so him coming back to fight Francis this quick is a bit of a quick turn for Stipe. If he wins this fight, when do they think he's going to fight Jones? In October, November? So is Curtis Blades going to fight for the belt in 2022? Like, poor guy has only lost to Ngannou, right? Ngannou's the one that beats him every time. Everybody else he's been demolishing. So I don't necessarily know. I mean, it's it feels like to me a bit of a placeholder fight. Like, Curtis, you win, you still stay on the short list. But if Derek Lewis wins, he puts himself back in the conversation. But, I mean, when Volkov has looked the way that he's looked, like, these guys are starting to line up at heavyweight. But when you got a fighter like Jones, with the history that Jones has, he should get a title fight. You know, no, I know I initially agree. I said he should fight Curtis. But if
– that was crazy.
No, that was not crazy.
That wasn't crazy. I mean, if you burn money, then
– if they're going to give him a title fight, it's just – I can't think for a second why he wouldn't get one. But
Blades is in a really tough spot because he beat Volkov, remember? So it's not like he can just go fight that guy.
No, he beat Volkov. He beat Derek Lewis beat Volkov. If Derek Lewis wins, right? Like, it's like these guys are in weird places in terms of their
career. Cyril Gane and Jairzinho Rozenstruik in 2 weeks. But I don't know if that's good enough for Blades. Blades might just wait, but, like, are you really going to wait?
How long is he going to wait, though?
Two heavyweight title fights. I mean, that could be 4 years from now at the rate that you guys been defending those titles. I mean, golly, once a year.
You got to hold on to that big belt when you get it. You know, it's like that big WCW championship.
Yes.
The heavyweight title is like the big belt, that big old WCW belt that Ric Flair used to have.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And
Boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Can we give a shout out, by the way, speaking of the heavyweight division? This morning, I don't know if you saw it, Stefan Struve officially retired from MMA. He did a few years ago due to health reasons, but now it seems like it's more official. This man did something that very few people in the sport did, right?
Knocked You're one of Miocic, them. Right?
Yeah.
Knocked Remember? Out Stipe, yep. Stefan Struve, he had a good career. You know, tall guy, beat the champ at one point, went through some horrendous injuries, issues with his heart. Came back, had like a second part of his career. The dude should be very happy with what he accomplished in fighting.
Yeah, I mean, a great career. Sometimes he would get criticized for not using his range, his jab, to his advantage because he was so long. But I do want to wish Stefan Struve the best. And I also want to congratulate two very special individuals for some big news. I congratulate you at the top. I should have done this at the top as well. Congratulations to Alexander Rakic for getting into the EA game. And I do want to say you're welcome to
my boy Marvin Vittori.
I got it done. A few emails.
No, you didn't. Shut up. I talked to Marvin. So good. I talked to Marvin Vittori at Extreme Couture a week ago. And I go, you ready to be in the game? I don't think he had any idea that he was going to be in the next update. But I'd like to see what Marvin thinks right now.
Oh, so you took credit for it.
Well, I'm taking credit for everything, right? I made Max Holloway a 5-star. Did you see that?
I did.
Made Max Holloway a 5-star. You know,
so much power going to your head here. It's crazy.
It is. You know, I'm gonna sit there.
Is it literally just you doing it?
Did you just not hear Max say thank you, DC, for making me? EA Sports. Did you see EA Sports tweeted? DC officially makes Max a 5-star athlete. Do you want me to read the tweet? So you think I'm lying?
You sit there and you're like, yes, I do think that he is now 5-star.
I was thinking, you know what, man, Max, let me get the tweet from EA Sports.
No, I saw the tweet. I just wonder if someone else makes these decisions and then just gives it to you to take all the shine like you're doing right now with me and Marvin.
DC is back with the latest fighter updates.
This shows a lot about you right here, because this could be an opportunity for Marvin and I to finally squash our beef, and you're taking credit for it, not giving me any love. It's not fair.
Here's Bless MMA's reaction to DC making it official. So you could take credit, but there is no ground for why you're taking credit. I take credit for Marvin. You and Marvin should be good because you did campaign for him, but ultimately you were just campaigning to me, your coworker.
You're the guy.
You got it done, right? Okay, so he should thank you because – took your begging and blundering for him off air and made him.
I love Marvin. What can I say? I love him. By the way, there's some talks there that they may move the Paulo Costa Robert Whittaker fight to April 10th to be on the same card as Marvin Vittori versus Darren Till. Wow. A potential return to ABC perhaps as well. So big things going on in April. Yes. By the way, speaking of maybe apologizing and reaching out to people, I saw on my Instagram, Cody wrote, you FaceTimed him? Did you really face Cody Garbrandt?
Cody Garbrandt? Yes, yeah. I did FaceTime
the champ. You apologized to him?
I FaceTimed the champ. See, listen, here's the thing. Cody No Love is the man, right? Cody No Love has all of the it factor. Cody No Love has enough it factor to give something to you and other people.
All
Cody
of no the Love it factor.
Cody No Love also was going to fight at flyweight. So the whole time I'm doing this, I was thinking him as a flyweight, you know? So when you said Cody Garbrandt, I said, oh yeah, Garbrandt. I was thinking, oh, but Cody's fighting 125 now. Cody Garbrandt also bought me a beautiful pair of Jordan Off-Whites that had to be $1,200, $1,300. So Cody No Love is one of my all-time favorites. And yes, I did personally extend an apology to the champ because the champ has all of the it factor.
Did you call Jose Aldo, Dominic Cruz, all those other guys as well or no? Why did he just get a call?
Because I was thinking about Cody No Love as a guy fighting at 125, and I unjustly threw him into Aljamain Sterling got an apology. I saw him, saw Aljo. Aljo got an apology. I'm pretty sure I'm going to apologize to every other guy I see. You know what I'm saying? Piotr Jan. Hey. Piotr Jan. I'm going to apologize to him.
Jose Gastelum.
Calvin Gastelum. Kelvin Gastelum. Every one of those guys, bantamweights, you guys are my favorites. I love you guys. And you know what you all guys got? You all got it. You guys got it. You guys got it. You almost got as much it as Kelvin Gastelum.
Oh my God. And next you're going to have to owe an apology to GSP for disparaging
what?
His incredible, for saying that
I he's said GSP is the greatest fighter of all time. How is that disparaging?
Well, because in one breath you're saying that, but in the other breath you're kind of hedging and you're like, well, this guy is pretty much in the conversation. So get out of here.
So are you telling me that MMA today isn't a little bit higher level than MMA back in 2010?
That's a fair argument to make. That's all but I'm you saying. Cannot say to one guy who has 11 victories in UFC welterweight title fights, let alone moved up. Don't even have to talk about the moving up. And this dude's got four.
Yeah, amazing. But still,
we're not even in the same discussion. What's wrong with being in the discussion with Hughes and Miletic? Why do we have to put them all the way at
there's
the top?
There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like when you're looking
and you know what's going to happen here. I'm going to be called a hater. But listen, someone's got to defend GSP's
you're
legacy.
Hating. You're just all you're. First off, you love GSP, right? Rightfully so. We all love GSP. But I think it's time for us to start talking about Usman in that fashion because he's very close. Because I just don't know if there's going to be 11, 12 title fights anymore. This doesn't happen.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Just don't know. Okay. I don't know if that's like a thing of the past where a person
Izzy gets into that discussion.
11, you think 12. Izzy wins 11?
Why not?
I think Izzy wins six. I think when Izzy gets to like six after Amanda beating Nunes. A Robert Whittaker, Paulo Costa, Robert Whittaker, Jan Błachowicz, if he can, he's in the conversation with Anderson Silva.
Amanda Nunes?
Yeah. Amanda Nunes might because she's just that good.
Kelvin Gastelum. No, I'm just joking.
Kelvin.
By the way, that card, by the way, with the Nunes and Jan and stuff, Dominic Cruz on the prelims. You see that?
Three title fights.
But Dominic Cruz on the prelims. Wow.
I wonder how that conversation went.
You know what? It's not bad. He's going to be on ESPN prelims.
He's going to be on ESPN. He's going to be able to show who he is, taking on a very tough
Why do you say that? I wonder how that conversation
Because, went. Dude, you don't really like piss Dom off. Like, I don't really. I try my best not to make Dom mad. I'm like, hey, yo, Dom. Yo, you're going to be on the prelims. What? Hey, who's calling Dom? Like, who's going to call Dom? Like, who's going to call Dom and tell him? Like, you know why Dom is fighting Casey Kinney?
I don't.
He's from Tucson, I think.
Casey Kinney?
Yeah.
So this is like a turf war?
Dom's like, well, listen, man, if I'm going to fight a young guy, then why not a guy from my town? Like,
I like that.
Dominic Cruz is the man. You know, I love Cruz. You know, we our relationship is, you know, poke and prod. Like, he gets mad at me because I'm always joking and he's a bit of a serious guy, but I love Cruz. He's the man.
Almost as much as you love soap operas.
Ooh, boy, I don't know. Running kind of late. You know, you guys got to hurt. Let's wrap this thing up. You know, Victor Newman's waiting in Genoa City right now, you know?
I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah,
is that General Hospital?
No, it's Young and Russell's. Genoa City is where it is. Victor Newman's the guy that's been on the show. I mean, I don't understand how long.
Stephen A is a massive fan. I think he's been on it.
No, Stephen A is on a different one. Stephen A is on a General Hospital. Okay. His name is Brick or something like that. He's so cool. When he goes, when Stephen A is, Stephen A is the fixer, right? Okay. Like, so Stephen A is like the fixer. When Stephen A is called in, something's going very wrong in this family that he works for. And Stephen A walks in, you know, he kind of like sway.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, what's up? And then the wife like leaves the room and then Stephen A talks to the mob guy and he's like, Brick, nice to see you. It's like so dramatic. I love it.
You know? Watch every day?
When Selena's not around. Because the moment she catches me, she shames me into what she's like, She shames me for watching Young and the Restless. You know, I've quietly T-voted onto my iPad, so I usually kind of sneak and watch it in the evenings.
That's right.
You want to watch it? You want to start watching it
with you? I'll try it with you. All right,
we'll zoom an episode. You can watch it for like a month. Miss 10 years. Seriously, you watch it for 1 month, miss 10 years, and then feel like you just know the story within like 4 days.
All right. I'm home a lot now, so I'll start watching. All right. Well, on that note, we shall say goodbye. It was a fun one. Thank you to everyone who continues to rate, download, subscribe, and review. Thank you to Manscaped. Thank you to UDC. Have a great week, my brother. It's been a pleasure as always. Congratulations, Kamaru Usman. And still, much love. Back next week, same time and place. Until then, we say peace.
Peace.
Right here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.